Welcome to the hippest trip in pro wrestling and the premier platform for pay-per-view punditry. This is the Chain Reaction, presented by Place to Be Nation and the Kings of Sport.
Swing low, time to move on. Light years in time, ahead of our time.
Time is right now. The place is right here. And the show? Well, this is the hippest trip in wrestling podcast. This is the Chain Reaction, the program where a panel of pro wrestling pundits are prepared to pontificate on the positives and the problems of the pay-per-view which we just perused. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, aka Nasty Nate, and welcome to episode number 3. Of the Chain Reaction. This is a co-branded production of Place to Be Nation and the Kings of Sport podcast. So you can check out the show on both feeds. And we are here tonight, moments after the conclusion of SummerSlam 32 from the Great White North up in Toronto. And I feel like I need to get the elephant out of the room. Get that elephant out of the way real quick. There is an elephant in the room tonight. It is August 11th. Not only is it the night of SummerSlam, not only is it the birthday of noted racial expert and healer across cultural boundaries, Terry Bollea. So happy birthday, brother. But it is also my birthday, so I want to thank everybody for all the kind words and cards and notes that I've received on social media. It is great to be 22. I appreciate all of the love, and so I'm gonna make my 22nd year my best year. Hey, it's my party. I can lie if I want to. But with that being said, let me introduce the Chain Gang tonight. Guest number one is a returning member of the Chain Gang. You heard her on the Royal Rumble 2018 review. She is the host of Geek and Sassy, Freak Out Drive-In, Talking Pop, and Talking WCW. And I ain't saying she's a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke individuals. Jennifer Smith is in the building. Jenny, how you doing this week?
That was amazing. I'm good. Happy birthday, Nasty Nate.
Thank you so much.
What'd you get for your birthday?
My birthday present is a bottle of Southern Comfort that I will open as soon as the show is over.
That is a great present.
Because I want this show to be at least somewhat coherent.
Well, look, I had to stay sober during SummerSlam just for you, just to do this show. So I'm just saying, afterwards, no promises.
Everybody's getting drunk after the show.
Hell yeah.
You're having an after party at the Motel 6. So, speaking of Motel 6s, I don't even know if that transition works, because I don't know if they have Motel 6s in Canada. But my next panelist is also a returning member of the show. He was on our WrestleMania 35 show. He's one of the hosts of the True North Nerds podcast. And you can see him on TV any given Sunday. He wins the Grey Cup and drives off in a Hyundai. Brent Titton is in the building this week. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. I was kind of curious what my my intro was going to be after the last one. But I'm glad to be here and glad to get a chance to talk some wrestling. And so are my my co-hosts of True North Nerds, which means they don't have to put up with it the next time we record an episode.
Hey, you scratch our back, we'll scratch theirs. It's good to have you, brother. And yes, we will lean on you as our Canadian expert tonight. And the final member of our fearsome foursome is making his first appearance on the Chain Reaction. Place to Be Nation listeners know this man well. He is a regular on all the multitude of shows on Place to Be Nation. He is part of the fiber of the network. He hosts the main event alongside myself and the conscience of Place to Be Nation, Steve Willie. And I know at first glance he might not look like much, but he's got that ambition, baby. Look in his eyes. This week he's mopping floors, but next week he's on fries. Scott Criscola is here with us tonight. Scotty, how you doing, my friend?
I wish you would write all this stuff for every other week, because this is 10 times better than when we usually have to talk to Steve Willie about retired Blackhawks players. First off, when you said elephant in the room, I was waiting to see who was going to walk out. Secondly, happy birthday, Brother Nate. And if somebody else in this room was hosting the show and had a bottle of Southern Comfort, it'd be on the floor empty by the time we got to Oney Lorcan's promo. So thank God. But it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for allowing me into the chain reaction. And I can't remember the last reaction pod I did. Might have been with Chris Zellner, which means we finished at 3 o'clock in the morning. So when you said expeditious, you were speaking my language. But looking forward to talking about this show tonight. I am a SummerSlam junkie. It was my favorite pay-per-view, always my favorite pay-per-view brand when I was a kid. And after a tremendous takeover last night, I was anticipating a good show tonight, and I'm looking forward to talking about it, because I think it was.
Yes, I'm glad that you're here, Scotty, and the key word is expeditious, because by my clock, it is 11:15, and the goal for me is to get out of here by 11:59 so I can open this bottle while it is still my birthday here on the East Coast. But also, I just want to say, full disclosure, I have been holding on to that Kanye West gold digger bit since episode one of the, like, I've been waiting to use that since episode one of the chain reaction, but it doesn't work. A, if there's only two people, and B, it doesn't work if Jenny's not there, because that's the crux, the jump off point for the joke. So I needed everybody, the stars to align, and enough people to be here so that I could use that bit that I've been holding on to since 2018.
Well, that's your birthday present then, Nate.
Well, if you were hurt,
as soon as Brent said he was gonna be good for tonight, I was like, yes, I can use my intro.
Well, the best thing is, if she's got the cash, we definitely wouldn't be in a Motel 6. And secondly, if we were in her time zone, you'd still have an hour and 40, which means you'd be opening that bitch up now. So, but that's all right. We can't handle the globe or the spin around it unless we're Superman going backwards like Christopher Reeve. So, but anyway, we'll try and be expeditious until we hear the plastic snap off the top by the time we get to the Goldberg's Dolph match.
We're doing a good job so far. Absolutely.
Yeah. But you until we both start scratching the, until we all start scratching the itch at 11:36 and go, snap the cap, Nate, snap the cap. But I'm ready to rock and roll. Birthday, all Nate. Right. Let's do it.
So let's tap the bottle and crack the top on the results, because that's where we'll start. We'll start by going over the results of tonight's card. We're not going to go match by match, but we are going to give you the results. And then we got about five or six categories that we're going to get into with the panel tonight. And we'll give our thoughts and our reactions on the show we just watched, kind of around the horn style. So the results of tonight's card from the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, Canada. On the pre-show, we saw Drew Gulak defend his Cruiserweight Championship against Oney Lorcan. We saw Buddy Murphy defeat Apollo Crews by DQ. Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross defeated the Iconics to retain their WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. Then we went to the main card, where the first match of the night saw Becky Lynch defeat Natalya in a submission match for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. Goldberg, the aforementioned Bill Goldberg, was back, and he defeated Dolph Ziggler in a minute and 50 seconds, and I think Wikipedia is being generous with that timing. next up.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, in a singles match for the WWE U.S. Championship, AJ Styles with the OC defeated Ricochet. In a match for the SmackDown Women's Championship, Bayley retained her title, defeating Ember Moon. Kevin Owens gets to keep his WWE career intact because he defeated Shane McMahon in 9 minutes and 20 seconds. Charlotte Flair defeated Trish Stratus by submission in 16 minutes and 40 seconds. Kofi Kingston and Randy Orton in a match for the WWE title ended in a double countout at 16:45. The Fiend, making his debut, Bray Wyatt, defeated Finn Balor in a singles match in 3 minutes and 25 seconds. And in our main event, in a singles match for the WWE Universal Championship, Seth freaking Rollins regained the title by defeating Brock Lesnar in 13 minutes and 25 seconds. So that is the rundown of the card, the results for tonight's show. And so let's get into our categories now, folks. We're going to start with best match. What match tonight did you feel like was the highlight of the evening? And being that I am a Southern gentleman about to drink some Southern comfort, we'll start with the ladies first. Jenny, what was your best match of the show?
Okay, so this one turned out to be a surprise for me because as big as a Charlotte fan as I am, I wasn't super hyped about it. I don't know if that's just because my lack of knowledge about Trish. And I mean, I know she's a Hall of Famer and extremely popular, but I've never really seen any of her stuff. And so I was like, okay, it'll be fine. And Charlotte will be great as usual. But then something happened in that match where it just got stepped up to the next level. And that thing that happened was Charlotte Flair, because she was outstanding. She proved her queendom tonight with that match. I thought it was so good. Trish looked really good. You could tell she had been working hard, really, to put that on with Charlotte. And their chemistry was outstanding. Crazy submissions at the end. I was shocked, and I loved it so much.
Okay, one vote for Charlotte and Trish. I'll share my thoughts on that match a little bit later, but I like that pick, Jenny. Let's see. Let's go to Brent. Brent, what was your choice for best match of the night?
I feel a little bad because Trish is from my neck of the woods. like her yoga studio is about half an hour away from where I live. But I want to say Randy Orton and Kofi, except for the end. That I am not a Randy Orton fan by the biggest stretch of the imagination, but something about this match really got me. And I think the build was pretty good too, especially in the last little bit where they've been focusing on like how Kofi almost got him and didn't, and basically fell to the bottom of the WWE ladder and had to climb back up it. But the double count out sort of takes a point off for me. I don't know why. I was just hoping for a real clean finish for Kofi, because I think he really needs one. But up until that point, that match was excellent.
Yeah, I really like that match. I do have some issues with the finish, but I'll talk about that later, because that might come up in one of my categories. So, Scotty, what was your match of the night?
I am going to echo Jenny's sentiment. I'm a gigantic Charlotte fan because her father is my favorite wrestler of all time, and she wrestles literally exactly like him. Mm-hmm. And there's no fault in that. I was hyped for that match to begin with, because I like Trish a lot, and I know her what she can do in the ring. I was hyped for Seth and Brock, and we'll talk more about. I'm going to get into that match a little bit later, because that wasn't my top match of the night, but it was my top three. But I got to go with Charlotte and Trish, simply because Charlotte literally, and this match is an indicator of that. And I never saw her in this setting like I did with all the battles with Sasha and all the battles with Becky. Charlotte wrestled this match like a match her dad would wrestle. She sold well. She barked more than she normally does. You know, her dad was the king of jaw jacking during matches. Mm-hmm. And she was on par with just taunting Trish better than she did with any other opponent. And she knew when to sell right. And Trish didn't need any help. And Jenny's right. I don't know how much kind of rust she brushed off, because Trish wrestled like it was 2005. Mm-hmm. So I had no issue with that whatsoever. She was on her game tonight. But I went with that match because obviously if you get five only the second longest match of the night, you obviously were expected to deliver. And they did in spades. So I got to go with Charlotte and Trish. But Seth and Brock come very close. Mm. I loved the story in that match. We'll get to that match a little bit later. I was all in on Charlotte and Trish. They kept me at the edge of my seat, and Charlotte was perfect tonight. Perfect.
Okay. Another vote for Charlotte and Trish. And I think this is a really strong show, and I think part of it was because there wasn't a lot of filler on this card. Mm-hmm. You know, the show ended
none
at 10:30, and it was a tight, concise show with a lot of really strong matches. There were really only two matches on the show that I felt were duds. Everything else was either good to really good, and in some cases, great. And so I want to give honorable mention to Seth and Brock, which I thought was really strong. I want to give honorable mention to AJ Styles versus Nightwing Ricochet, a.k.a.
Yes.
Rick Grayson, if you will.
Oh, my God, yes.
Cannot wait for the new shirt. Cannot wait for the new shirt.
And I also want to say, like, the Goldberg-Ziggler stuff, I really enjoyed as
Me
well.
Me too.
I thought that was a perfect use of Goldberg as opposed to, you know, him and Taker in Saudi Arabia. I thought this was this is what Goldberg should be doing at this stage of his career and this stage of his life if he's going to be active at this point. But I will have to make it 3 out of 4 and go with Charlotte and Trish for my match of the night. And I had high hopes. I had high expectations for this match going into it because we know how good Charlotte Flair is. And it was even more obvious on this card that she is in a class of her own when it comes to the women on the card. Even, you know, talking about somebody like a Becky Lynch. Like, I love Becky Lynch, but she is not to where Charlotte is as a performer, as a complete package at this point. And then you bring in Trish Stratus, who is my age. Yes, folks, she's 22 as well.
Wow.
Wow, she looks great.
Why aren't you all in NXT then? Think you're special.
We skipped developmental. We didn't need this guy.
Okay, AJ.
Trish Stratus is 42 years old. She hadn't wrestled a singles match in years. You know, she did the tag at Evolution last year.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, she really hadn't done anything in ring.
She had a work match. Did she have a match with Cena?
Yeah, she had that mixed tag with Cena.
On a Raw near Christmas, right? What was it, like 3 years ago?
Yeah.
She's done a lot of stuff like that. Like, there was the women's Royal Rumble she was also a part of. Like, nothing where she had to carry it herself, though. Like, it was just, you know, easy spots and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and this was the exact opposite. She had to be in there with a high-level competitor, and I thought, for somebody of her age, and not even her age, but just somebody that hadn't been active regularly in a while, I thought she did fantastic. The crowd was certainly behind her. There was a point where Trish switched it up and had the figure eight on Charlotte, and the crowd was going crazy. And then, like Scotty was saying, when you could see echoes of her father in her in-ring work, the moment where Charlotte and Trish are, like, both on all fours and they kind of start butting heads and jawing at each other. Mm-hmm. Like, that's quintessential Ric Flair right there. Flair and Steamboat going head to head. And I thought this was a really good match for Trish, but also it elevates Charlotte and makes her an even bigger threat in the women's division. So, yeah, I'll give Charlotte and Trish my match of the night as well.
Jeez, you guys are so almost excited. Making me change my opinion.
I know. I'm so excited. I thought I was going to be the weird one with picking that. So I'm like, yes.
Yeah, I'm in the tank for Charlotte anyway. Like, I think.
Oh, me too.
Oh, who's like, not? Seriously.
Yeah. Like, they should be doing so
I'm
much like
this.
I think Brent and I talked about this when we did the chain reaction after WrestleMania. Like, for the people that were complaining that she was inserted into the women's three-way at WrestleMania, like, that match needed Charlotte Flair.
Yep.
Damn right it did.
Because as much as I like Becky and as good as Ronda Rousey was in her first year, they needed something to take that over the top from an in-ring dramatic perspective. And Charlotte brought that. So
absolutely.
Like, I can't find there's no hole in her game right now. So I thought her and Trish did a good job tonight. Let's go to the other side of the coin, though. And let's talk about the most disappointing match on the show. And as Brent made the distinction last time, there is a difference between worst match and most disappointing. So for the purposes of this show, you know, we're saying most disappointing, which could be the worst match in your opinion. But what match did you have expectations for that were not met? So, Scotty, let's go reverse around the horn on this one. What was your most disappointing match of the night?
I can't believe I'm about to say this because she's just as high on my list as Charlotte is. But believe it or not, and I'm not saying this because I can't stand her opponent, but I got to go with Becky and Natalya. I love Becky. And as everyone knows, I absolutely fucking hate Natalya. But that match on paper should have been good. Something, and I said this to the guys I was watching the show with, is WWE like screwing with their with the audio of the crowd? No crowd. Everyone's like, oh, these crowds are dead. I don't think they're as dead as they sound. I don't know what the hell WWE's doing with their audio boards. I don't know if Bucktooth creep Kevin Dunn's messing with it. But something's not right with the audio in terms of crowd, you know, the crowd mic. Because no crowds are this dead.
Well, especially a crowd like Toronto, which has a reputation.
Exactly.
Well, you did crowd. See them sitting on their ass for most of the show.
Well, they've lost. That. No, I agree with you, Jenny. And they lost a lot of cred for me. Even though Unforgiven 06 was a great pay-per-view, they lost a lot of respect for me after they totally crapped on SummerSlam 04. They haven't been that city in terms of pay-per-views and crowds hasn't been the same since. But having said that, something wasn't right. And I think eventually I know they want to try and get the crowd going by having Becky open. They got to stop having Becky open. And get her back down the card and treat her like she's supposed to be treated. Because we talked about, I've talked a lot of times, we talked about on a main event, Nate, about Becky and the whole Becky-Seth thing and how maybe that wasn't a great idea to out them. And I think Seth saved himself tonight from that. I think Becky's still stuck. As cool as the video game commercial is, she's stuck right now. And I think she's got to get herself out of it. But when Natalya, who they constantly get literally for every Canadian show, like it matters to her, because she sucks in every city, why they bring her in every Canadian pay-per-view just because she's Brett's freaking niece, just boggles the mind. Having said that, I know she's a good worker, but something didn't click tonight. It was not the worst match of the night, but I definitely expected more out of both of them than I got. And I think a lot of it is because I know that the term, quote, curtain jerking is not relevant anymore because opening a show is not a punishment like it used to be. But Becky doing it constantly now, well, this is like what, like the third time she's done it in the last like five shows or six shows, I think, or something.
Yeah.
It's, you can't do that with her anymore. You got to rotate that. Just because you think she's that good and she can pull the ripcord on the energy doesn't mean it's going to work every time. And I know they probably thought, well, Natalia's going to get a pop there in Canada. It's Natalya. I think the cat would get a better pop. So we got to move on from that thinking and just put on good, have a solid women's match.
I think it'd be different if Becky were in ring somebody like an AJ Styles, where sure. That style works as an opener. Like you need a Ricky Henderson to use a baseball terminology.
Damn right.
Like Ricky, you need somebody that can come out there and have some sizzle. Whereas Becky, her matches are a little bit more methodical because they're based around a disarmer. And that's not like this. I think the submission match, in theory, on paper, was probably a good idea. But I don't know if in execution it worked.
No, I don't think it did. Not for the opener. And again, I think the crowd, and Jenny's right, most of the crowd tonight was trash. We could say, I mean, except we had a couple of our favorite sons of Place to Be Nation were in the building.
Of course, except for them. I'm sure they were.
the great J. Arsenio D'Amato is awesome every building he's in. And I'm sure he'll tell you that. And let me tell you something. I trust D'Amato's judgment. And when we have him on a future show, he'll tell you that the crowd was great. And I'm going to say, Johnny, we didn't hear it. And I believe you. Johnny never lies, as far as I know. But I believe him when he'll tell me that the crowd was great. I didn't hear it. So I think that hurt that match. And at the end, I'm like, oh, I'm glad Becky won, but that was . Goldberg opening might have worked better.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I think Goldberg opening might have helped the show a little bit more than – I think you could have put Becky the problem is you sandwich two women's matches around Kevin and Shane. maybe you could have put it after Kofi, before Bret. I don't know. Anyway, Becky and not to take the time off, but Becky and Natalya was definitely the most disappointing for me.
Okay, that's an interesting call, Brent. A, what was your most disappointing match? And B, defend your native land, sir.
No, I would love to defend it. I think Scott's right. I think the audio does get messed with a little bit, but I kind of agree with the fact that in terms of Toronto crowds at WWE events, we have gotten the reputation of being bizarro world. Like, we have been referred to that on television, and now a lot of the guys going there, or at least the ones that are vocal enough, are like, well, I'm just going to boo this person just for the sake of booing them so we can get that on TV because we're fucking bizarro world. So, like, we saw it, for me, the example was the Kofi Kingston match tonight.
Yeah. Yep.
We had the dueling chants of Kofi sucks, and like that bugged the crap out of me, right?
I agree.
So yeah, like, I can't defend that at all, other than I don't think it's probably as bad as we've heard it, but I think there's too many vocal people who are like running with it just to be quote unquote cool. For most disappointing match of the night, I caught up late because of streaming problems. But the Becky one I can completely sort of see. But for me, I think it was Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon. And I went in with low expectations to begin with.
They failed to meet your exceedingly low expectations.
Yeah, it really felt like they like, much like this feud has been since it really started getting going, is they're trying to make a modern Stone Cold McMahon feud. Yep. And that's not really who Owens is. Like, he is kind of an everyman. He's a bit of a chunkier wrestler, but at the same time, it seemed like this match was just a pale version of the ones that we had seen before. The two guys didn't completely click with working with one another, and Owens is a fantastic worker.
Hold on, Brent. I think I can crystallize this in an analogy for the listeners out there. So what you're saying, if I'm picking up what you're putting down, is that Vince versus Stone Cold was the animated Aladdin. And yes. Kevin Owens versus Shane is Will Smith's Aladdin.
Oh my gosh.
That's horrible.
End of it, where we basically Owens wins by cheating when the ref isn't looking, by giving a low blow. It's something straight out of the Austin McMahon playbook.
Yep.
But it didn't seem to have the urgency or the speed to it. You know what I mean? Like, it just sort of seemed like it was like a half a step lower than that, and just a pale version of that. And I feel bad because I love Owens as a wrestler, and I was kind of hoping he might be able to pull something off with this, but no.
Yeah, it's weird because, like you said, Owens is great, and Shane's actually a really good heel.
Yeah.
But tremendous. For whatever reason, like, and I don't think this was a bad match at all, Kevin and Shane. I just don't know if the story is as hot as it needs to be.
No. Like, this should have been something, if they wanted to do Austin McMahon again, this is something that you build up over a couple months, not a month and a half or whatever it has been. Like, you know, Owens keeps wanting to get his hands on Shane, but obstacle after obstacle for like three pay-per-views is thrown in his way. Like, there should have been, if you want to do that, Owens gets the crap beat out of him, and then Shane comes down, and Owens is being held back, and Shane's just mocking him to his face, like, just like nose to nose, like, you can't touch me kind of stuff. And we didn't get that. And then this match is like, where do they go from here? I'm assuming this feud continues. I don't want it to. Like, this match is like, I'm done. So I don't need to see more of this, but I have a feeling we've got at least another month, if not two, of them trying to replicate that success, and it's just not going to work.
So Jenny, that was Brent's most disappointing match. I was trying to think of a good Aladdin pun to make the transition, but I got nothing. But what was your most disappointing match tonight?
Well, it was a whole new world for me over here.
Ah,
because
beautiful.
Ba-ding.
Because I adore both Kofi Kingston and Randy Orton, but for me, that match fell flat. Randy is fascinating for me in several ways, but one of those ways is how slow and methodical he wrestles, and he, you know, tries to strike quickly out of nowhere after he's kind of lulled you into this, you know, like slow pace. And I don't know, I just never felt like he ever got up into another gear. He managed to do that surprise RKO, which I was looking for, which was great. And it looked like it was kind of picking up a little bit towards the end, especially when they got on the outside over there by Kofi's family. And then I thought that was really great. Like, I thought he was about to do something real fucking gross to Kofi, like right in front of his kids. So I was getting amped up for that. And then double count out. I'm like, what the fuck? And there was no, like, it was just out of nowhere. Like, they weren't really referencing it in commentary or anything. It was just like, oh shit, we forgot. We're not supposed to be out here for this long. Mm. And it just felt like it got cut short. And I hate any kind of like tie or time limit draw or any shit like that. So I just felt like the ending sucked and I hated the finish. But, and then like the crowd hated it. I mean, this crowd actually was kind of right for me on this match. But I mean, like he didn't get, when he was holding up his belt, he didn't get any cheers. It was, everybody hated that shit. And I did too. Sorry, Brent.
No, like that. The ending of that match is, like, I enjoyed the match up until the end. And like you say, it almost looked like came, like, out of nowhere that the time limit came
up. Yeah, it's like they forgot.
No references on commentary, no ref bump, nothing. It just, and then I don't completely understand Kofi going eight shit at the end of it either. Like, that's almost a move that you would use if you're going to turn Kofi heel a little bit.
That's what I thought,
too. But I don't think that's happening either, right?
Yeah.
No, well, I think the way you make that work is instead of the double count out, we have Kofi and Randy in the same spot. Like, you could do the match the exact same way. But instead of both of them getting counted out by this referee who is a stickler for the rules, I guess, because he gave them no leniency
right
on that count. But you have Orton messing with Kofi's wife and kids, and then that's where Kofi snaps. And
you
get Kofi DQ'd, which gives Randy another match, but it also plays into, I think, what Graves was trying to point towards at the end of the match. Oh, Orton's gotten under Kofi's skin. He's playing mind games, which works if you do it that way, but it doesn't really work if both of you got counted out and now Kofi's just kicking his other guy's ass. Like,
exactly.
So I think there's a good story there. They just kind of messed up the ending. They kind of fumbled at the goal line.
My other thought was that would work if the next pay-per-view was Hell in a Cell. Like, I don't agree with it, but I'm like, okay, they have to both be in the cage. There's no time limits. There's no disqualification, blah, 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 blah. But that's, as far as I can tell, that's not the next pay-per-view. It's now Clash of the Champions.
You got Clash of Champions, then Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, so does that mean they're going to work this until Hell in the Cell? And I don't know if this feud needs another 2 months, but...
Honestly, real quick, Scotty, I was going to say, honestly, because I think this was the best-built feud on the card tonight.
But yes, it was.
I think an issue that a lot of these matches had is because of the way their pay-per-view schedule or their special event schedule was set up, you had all these microwave feuds where everything happened in 2 or 3 weeks, where I think, especially when you're dealing with somebody like Orton, you can let a feud breathe a little bit. I don't know if you can let it breathe 2 months, but I could go another month with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another month. I agree with two. I don't know. We'll see what they've got, but like, I agree completely with you. The end could It's like the bad ending to a movie. It can affect it a lot. I just
the ending of the match for me was very reminiscent of another match between an over face and a lukewarm heel. And that was Judgment Day 04 between Eddie and JBL. Mm-hmm. And the ending of that first match, except for, you know, obviously Kofi wasn't bleeding all over the place, was very reminiscent of that. The blood obviously helps immensely. Mm-hmm. But the same thing, Eddie flipped his shit at the end of that match and beat the crap out of JBL, which led to the match the following month at the Bash, which JBL won the title. I do think that we are going to see two more matches because I think Orton's going to win the belt at Clash of Champions, and then we will have the rubber match at Hell in a Cell, and I think those two could tear the house down in Hell in a Cell. One quick thing about Orton before we move on, guys. Randy Orton is one of the few wrestlers, and this is kind of what Jenny was saying about pacing and such. Randy Orton, in my opinion, is one of the few guys who you can't say he's a really good wrestler or he's a really shitty wrestler. Randy Orton is one of those guys you can't really give a broad brush statement about his work. He is legitimately one of the only match by match guys that I've ever watched in my 30 plus years of watching wrestling, because he could look great one week and look like garbage the next. And the pacing thing that Jenny's talking about, which she's dead on about tonight's match, sometimes works great against other guys, but works lousy against other guys. When he did it against Cena, when he did it against Triple H, guys that can counter and tell the story and not are not high flyers where you're kind of neutering them by being too slow, is fine. But when you take a guy like AJ or a guy like Kofi and you grind him down with your pacing, not only are you, sure, psychologically you're kind of killing your opponent's buzz, but you're also kind of killing the match's buzz. And that's what happened tonight. When Orton did it against Cena or Orton did it against Triple H in those feuds back in the day, those two guys were good at reacting to the slow pace. Whereas a guy like Kofi who needs to keep moving, it doesn't work even if you're meaning to do it in storyline. And that's Orton's problem, is that you can never say, I can't wait to watch this Orton match tonight. I think it's going to be great. Or, oh God, Orton's wrestling tonight. Because you don't know. Orton's one of those weird guys you just never know what you're going to get.
Yeah,
and I had a weird feeling, and I kind of agreed with Jenny about that, that I had a weird feeling that tonight was going to be kind of a stinker. I wouldn't really call it a total stinker, but I was expecting more, too. But not as bad as – it wasn't much as disappointing for me as the Becky match was. But that's my take on Orton, because he's the kind of guy you can't really broad brush about his matches.
I thought this match was disappointing as well, Scotty. It wasn't my most disappointing, though, because I do think there's some good story elements in there, and it's just a matter of can they pivot off of this bad ending and make the story work? Because I think if you look at that video package, if you look at SmackDown in the weeks leading up to SummerSlam, this was a very well-told story that pulled from it from the company's history, which is something that they don't often do. You know, even down to the stupid thing. So I think there's some meat on that bone. They just got to cook it a little bit longer. Like, we got a little bit of raw meat with this match tonight.
Yes.
But that was not my most fryer. Yes. They should have put it, you know, let it broil a little bit. You got to let it cook, baby. Let it simmer. But that was not my most disappointing match. My most disappointing match, I have two of them that tied for first for me. And the most disappointing match for me was any women's match not featuring Charlotte or Trish. Natalya and Becky was disappointing, and Ember and Bayley. I don't know why that needed to be on SummerSlam. I wasn't feeling either one of those matches. Mm-mm. And to your point about Natalya and Becky, Scott, I don't know what it is, because on paper that should have been a really good match in front of a crowd that if not for Natalya, should have been evenly split down the middle. So you should have had a good amount of heat coming from the crowd. You got two experienced performers in there, like, regardless of Scott's irrational hate for Natalya, who is a national Canadian treasure.
She is not.
Oh.
Thank you, Brent.
From a real Canadian, no less.
Natalya she's as useful as your Wi-Fi.
As maple syrup and poutine. Natalya is as Canadian as reliable healthcare.
She was rocking the shit out of that jacket. I will say that was the best part of that match.
But yeah, I don't know what, I don't know why, but it just didn't click for me. And I think part of it is just Becky's gotten, she's not cold as a character, but she's certainly cooler than she was at WrestleMania.
They need to do something.
Because she doesn't have fucking Charlotte. Because, you know, that's where the magic is. Those two are the magic. And you can't get it out of her with Lacey, and you can't get it out of her with Natalya.
Honestly, I prefer the Lacey program to this program.
I did too, quite a bit. But still, it's still not Charlotte level. No. She's coming off of that. And where are you going to go? Just down. I mean, it's the only way she can go.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned, you know, down and up and directions, because that leads us to the next category, which is the blue chip stock of the night. And I'll go first on this one. The blue chip stock, for those listening for the first time, is what performer do we think had their value raised by tonight? And I have three people. One's a bit of a cheat, though. So I'll go to my honorable mentions first. My first honorable mention is the Street Profits, because I mentioned in the group chat we had going on before or during the show, they might be the most overact on Raw right now, and they haven't even wrestled.
They're awesome. I got to see them live in Atlanta. Oh my God. It was electric. Everybody was nuts for them. They were handing out red Solo cups in the line outside. I mean, they're amazing.
Yeah. I loved like the gimmick with the doing the beatbox to various people's themes. You know, you had Ric Flair coming in there tonight, and that was just fun because I'm sure Ric Flair had his own red Solo cup off camera that we couldn't see.
Oh, for sure.
But I think the Street Profits are like, they are so good right now in what they're doing. And once they give these guys a chance to actually work in ring with those teams on Raw, I think it's only a matter of time before A, they win the belts, and B, like they're this weird amalgam. And I'm not just saying this because they're all these teams are black or lethal, as we say on the main events, kind of. But they're like this weird amalgam of Crime Time and the New Day.
And yes,
I like them so much, and I think they got a ton of potential. My other honorable mention for my blue chip stock is somebody who I cannot wait to see more of, and I loved her performance. She wasn't even on the show tonight. She was on NXT TakeOver, but I felt I'd be remiss if I didn't mention her at all on this program, and that's Io Shirai.
Wait, you can't mention TakeOver.
Whose show is this, Jenny?
Well, Jenny and I aren't disagreeing with you at all.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but this ain't a TakeOver show.
Hey,
you are cheating.
Io Shirai took over the weekend for me.
Agreed.
I have not, and this is no shade on Candice LeRae, but I can't tell you the first Candice LeRae match I've been interested in on NXT.
Because there's none.
Last night, to me,
so good.
Damn near was the match of the night for me.
It was amazing.
And I think that the new character fits her perfectly. Like, it's such a genius move, and I get the genius of the sky pun. That's not what I was going for. But it's such a genius move because she doesn't need to speak perfect English for this character to work. In fact, the fact that she doesn't speak perfect English makes the character that much more better. See, I can't even speak perfect English now, but it makes the character better for me.
I don't think I heard the cat pop yet, though, but
it's more better.
It's more better, Shirai. But yeah, Io Shirai is an honorable mention. But getting back to my actual blue chip performer, we've said her name multiple times tonight, Jenny. Charlotte Flair, the queen of all eras.
Yep.
Not only did she have a great performance with Trish, but I think the less than inspiring performances of the other women on the roster just illustrate how good she is and how valuable I think to the company she is.
100%. Yes.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Agreed.
No doubt.
So Brent, who is your blue chip stock of the night? Who gained value off of this show?
So I'm taking it as who got the most out of this. I think if you're looking at MVPs of the show, like Charlotte would definitely be up there. But out of people who got the most out of SummerSlam, and it's a guy that we haven't talked about at all, mind you, is I'm going with The Fiend, Bray Wyatt.
Good job. I have him on my list.
I think he, that entrance and that semi squash of Balor, because we know Balor's going away for, what is it, like 3 months vacation or rehab or something? Well, I meant like physical rehab.
Sure.
Wow. What do you know?
But I think this, I think that has kind of washed away a lot of the stink that's been on Bray Wyatt for probably the last year and a half to 2 years. Mm-hmm. And there are some changes I would like to see continue in his performance. If I were him, I would now completely ditch the Sister Abigail. Like they teased it and he didn't pull it off. At this point, it's gone. Mandible Claw is now your finisher. Just go with that. Yeah. I would also get rid of the lantern that he comes out with. Like,
no,
I thought it was a really good thing of him coming out with a lantern that looked like his severed head. But I think the lantern with everybody else in the crowd doing the lights from their phone, I think it's still too connected to the old character that we were tired of. I think coming out with that severed head, that should be the end of that lantern, and he just goes on from here with the kind of flashing light entrance in darkness. But I think he rehabbed a lot in that match. Now, granted, this could be a stock that come next month drops through the floor into a penny stock. But I think he got a lot out of this more than anybody else. Like, is anybody really damaged from the show more than they were going in? I don't know, really. I think Kofi's kind of at the same spot. I think Orton's sort of still at the same spot. The like, Ember Moon, unfortunately, is still at the same spot. You know, like, there's nobody really raised except for Bray. I think this really raises the stock for now. This could totally go sideways the next time we do the show.
No, I really liked it.
That's a good pick.
I think that there's, you know, I'm a horror fan, so I'm all about it. And I thought that lamp looked amazing. I thought his mask looked amazing, and it was creepy as hell. It really was, like, legit creepy. And we need that. We need some darkness.
Yeah, you know? Maybe change the color of the lamp. Like, just do something so it's not exactly the same. So it shows up.
Full disclosure, Brent, I just want to let you know, Jenny's only caping up for the lantern because she's a huge Hal Jordan fan. So that's not the only reason,
but that's fair.
And it was green. But
so yeah, that would be my pick for the blue chipper.
Okay, so that's Brent's blue chipper. Jenny, are you agreeing with, are you co-signing Brent's blue chipper, or do you have one of your own?
Well, actually, I had Bray and Charlotte. Also, I had Kevin Owens.
Okay.
Because I had a little different take on the Shane thing than you guys did. But, you know, the match wasn't all that great or anything. But I'm slightly more interested in Kevin Owens than I was previously. So just personally, my own little uptick for him. And then I don't know how much more over he can get, but R-Truth is just a fucking delight. Every time he's on the show, I mean, he and Carmella just hiding under the desk, eating popcorn, throwing pop. I mean, just everything that he's doing with the 24/7, title is so much fun. And I mean, you get a few people here and there that grumble about it, but I think for the most part, people are enjoying it. It's like the perfect thing for R-Truth.
Yeah.
And for Carmella too.
Yeah. He had me sold when he did the Old Town Road parody with the 24/7 title. I was like, you know what? If anybody's going to get this thing to work, it's going to be Truth.
And he and her, like, dressed up as announcers or whatever, that shit was funny. I mean, they're legit funny, so it helps. You just totally buy it from him.
Yeah, well, I'm glad he's getting this revival late in his career, because the man's done some great work, as Scotty and I talked about on our greatest WWE 100 show. The bit where he was dressed as a Confederate soldier on that Raw in Richmond is still one of my favorite WWE moments ever. Like, it's just so ridiculous, and it came out of that guy's head. So shout out to R-Truth.
Wait. How can it be this late in his career when that man does not age?
He does not age.
He is going to be working at 65 and look like that.
Oh, there's
maybe
a bit
even older.
There's a bit on I don't know if it's .com or if it was on the YouTube where R-Truth and Kofi watched when they won the tag titles against the Primetime Players. And like right before they start to watch the video, Kofi's like, man, I always looked up to you when I was a kid, man. And, like, your matches with Andre the Giant and George the Animal Steel. And Truth without missing a beat is like, how could that be, Kofi? I grew up watching you. You know what, R-Truth deserves all the good things in the world, and Scotty knows because we've been talking a lot about R-Truth on the main event doing our NWA TNA recaps.
And look at him then, he looks the same in 2002 as he does now. So Brent hit the nail on the head for that. There's no doubt about that.
So Scotty, who is your blue chip stock of the night?
Well, I have two things first. Number one, Jenny forgot the important fact of her NWA her NXT trip is that she got the solo cup and went, shit, this is empty. Number two.
Well, I filled it with Jack Daniels. Thank you.
Oh, well, they should have done it for you is my point.
I paid $16 for fucking double. Anyway, yeah.
Cup. I'm like, what were you drinking before you did that? No. Number two, when Nate goes out for his Southern Comfort bender at the hotel after the show, you better sign in under D. Wayne Gretzky, which I think R-Truth should wrestle under now for the time being. That would be great, though. Think about it.
It's either going to be D. Wayne Gretzky or Ron Mexico, one of the two.
Should wrestle under other names so Drake can say I'm not 24/7 champion, R-Truth is. That'd be tremendous. I would love to give all of my chips to Io Shirai because she's Io Shirai. I mean, I liked her as a face, but heel Io Shirai with that like crazy innocent but not innocent look. Oh, never mind. I gotta stop. My blue chip tonight is no doubt because we talked about trying to clean the funk off of them. My blue chip tonight goes to Seth Rollins because they both were going into the show, boyfriend, girlfriend, to clean the funk off of what's been going on since kind of that Corbin Lacey thing. Becky didn't. Seth did. That match was tremendous tonight.
Yeah.
I loved that match tonight. Not better than Charlotte Trish, not at all. But that storytelling was fantastic tonight. And it was not like I seriously think that Seth is the first guy, maybe since AJ at Survivor Series, whenever the hell the two of them wrestled, 17, I think, or 16, 17, whatever Survivor Series Brock and AJ wrestled each other. I think Seth was the first guy that actually has gotten Brock to actually work. And not stand around looking like he's about to have a stroke. Which he did look like that tonight, as he usually does. and just wait for the suplex. I mean, Seth took Brock around the world and back again tonight. And I think the crowd kind of got into him hitting that third stomp and winning the title tonight. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think that Seth is on par now. To leave this Brock nonsense, because I think that feud was, I think that one, this 1 month was kind of killing him in that aspect. Mm. And based on our results tonight, I'm going to kind of make a prediction. I don't know if you do this at the end of the show, but I'll say it now since I'm talking about Seth. Seth's opponent, because you know tomorrow night on Raw, we're going to have some type of gauntlet thing to figure out Seth's opponent for Clash of Champions, because Brock's not getting a rematch. He's gone. He's off to the farm until Vince calls him at Christmas to start up the next cycle. My prediction, Seth Rollins' opponent at Clash of Champions will be Ricochet.
Mm.
That's why Ricochet didn't win the belt back tonight.
Okay.
Seth.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if I don't think Ricochet is going to win. He will eventually. Ricochet is going to be a tremendous world champion. Not yet, but he will. And he can, what is he, 25?
Yeah, he's 26? Got a little way to go.
Plenty of time left.
Yeah.
All the mouth breathers can piss and moan that he may not win the belt in the next like 3 days. his day will come. But he's going to, it's going to kind of be like when Roman fought AJ in those couple matches after the 97-week WrestleMania in Arlington. Similar to that. But Seth got his funk off tonight and is back to being a star. His girlfriend needs to work on it a little bit. Mm. But he got the funk off tonight in a great match against Brock. So my blue chip tonight is Seth.
Okay. I like that pick. I like that pick. So let's go on the other side of our fiscal rankings here, from the blue chip stocks to the penny stock. Who do you feel came out of this show in a worse position than when the night started? And I'm going to piggyback off of what Scotty just said, and I can't believe I'm saying this. I don't want to disparage the good people at 2K Sports. I enjoy a lot of their products, but the person I'm giving the penny stock to is their cover girl or their cover man for the WWE 2K20 game. And that is one, Becky Lynch. And I love Becky Lynch, but she is... And I don't know, it's not all her fault. Like I'd say it's mostly not of her own making that she is so cold right now, or cooler than she was coming out of WrestleMania. But when you look at the Lacey stuff, the Baron Corbin stuff, the let's go public with Seth and Becky as a couple, none of it has felt real, which is weird to say because they are a real life couple, but none of the stories that they've been telling on TV have felt as organic as Becky's original climb to the top. And she's still popular. She's still over, but she's not nearly as over as she was going against Charlotte, going against Rousey. And I think part of it is because of who is there on the roster on the Raw women's side. But I think another part of it is they just haven't evolved this character. And so, yeah, Becky to me is somebody, like, she can get hot in an instant. Like, her stock can rise. Like, and I'm glad you mentioned Shirai again, Scotty, because there cannot be enough mentions of the genius tonight.
A lot of rising there.
But I think her... I think her and Becky...
Is that what we're doing, dick jokes now? Come on.
I mean, it had to happen at some point.
It's after midnight. It's not Nate's birthday anymore. He's not responsible.
Not allowed anymore, is what I heard. They get cut out and shit like that.
I mean, the last off-color joke.
I'm a boss. I can do what I want.
No, look, Scott, I was going to say the last off-color joke killed an entire podcast network, but we're not here to talk
about it. I wasn't alone on that show, sir. I was not riding solo. I was a joint effort. I'll have
you go. But no, just to kind of close out my point, like, I think Shirai and Becky would be an amazing feud. Like, it's way too early,
yeah,
but that'd be amazing. Hell, Becky and Shayna, I think, would be a fantastic feud. But the current crop that's on the main roster, for whatever reason, is just not clicking. So Becky, to me, comes out of this show in a little bit of a weaker position than when the night started. Let's go to Jenny. Jenny, try not to kill the program. Who would you give your penny stock to?
I'm gonna give it to Nate Milton for his hosting duties tonight. Clearly subpar effort. Should have drank the bottle. So it kind of sucks because we talked a lot about the women tonight that have not done that well. I guess I want to add Bayley to that list.
That's a fair choice.
I really wanted to see Ember beat her because I just haven't found her super intriguing or exciting at all since she won. So, I mean, fine, I guess. It's not offensive, but it wasn't great. You know, it didn't feel like a title match, really. It just felt like some bullshit that she had to deal with. And Ember is so great. that I was really happy for her to at least get a shot. And I thought she might win in like a little bit of an upset there. So I don't know. I just felt disappointed by it. And maybe Bailey needs to like get back in touch with her dark side or something. I don't know. She's all too shiny happy for me.
Ember should have come out like Scotty. I know you remember this. Like there would be times when Victoria back in the day knew that she was going to lose a match and she'd come out with the shirt that said like, let's just get this over with.
Yes. Yep.
Ember should have had a let's just get this over with shirt on.
Yeah,
tonight,
pretty much.
That match was way too long for what it needed to be.
You know what though? She always looks like she's having the best time when she's wrestling. Like to me, that stands out. About her in particular, because I've seen her live a couple times and she always does that. There's always a little spark to her that even in something like this, it looked like she was having a great time. So I will give her that.
Okay. Brent, who do you give your penny stock to? And I hope it's not your fellow adopted Canadian Brock Lesnar.
No,
you don't want those problems.
No, I really liked the Brock and Seth match, especially as we could see from the group chat. Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman's awesome.
Yeah,
just
he is.
Quit now. No, we will all respect you if you do. Just great.
I agree.
My penny stock goes to it's a tie between Ember Moon and Bailey. Because I was thinking about it before we got there, I had forgotten that match occurred.
Mm.
And it's like one of those things that like for a women's championship match, that should not be the case. I should have remembered at least happened, whether it was a good match, bad match, other. I had completely forgotten about it. And it's kind of sad for me because I was one of the big people behind Bailey and NXT and hoping that when she got brought up to the main roster, that this would be the start of something different. And it really hasn't been. She's just kind of fizzled, unfortunately. I don't know how much of it's her and how much of it's how she's booked and how much it's written for her. She just seems so, so flat right now. And not that she's really had some peaks, but right now, just don't care. And Ember Moon is somebody that I think there's a lot of potential there, but at this point I'm starting to wonder if kind of like Bailey, if it's going to be squashed out of her before she gets a chance to realize it.
Mm. It's kind of telling that both of the women's title matches tonight have been either disappointing or lackluster. And I think what we're all kind of coming to a consensus here as a group, Scott, is that the WWE is lacking one succulent Samoan Nia Jax. That is what is needed to get this division, to get this women's roster back.
Now the bottle's empty.
I would welcome her, honestly, at this point. I would, because she's fun. I mean, she's fun to watch. And, you know, wrestling aside, she can heal it up. I like it.
Yeah, if you book her Nia like a monster, like she should be, with limited wrestling, I guess, just have her come in and maul people like a bear.
Yes.
That is kind of what...
Nate's like, yes, please.
Yes, please. I'd love to be mauled right now for my birthday.
Like, not... Nick, coming up next, me and Nia Jax recreating that scene from The Revenant. That's all I'm going to say.
You have to understand, Nate and I can't talk like this on the main event because our teacher, Steve Willey, looks at us with that disappointing face. So
you're right, though, Brent, because like, to me, two of the best matches Ronda Rousey ever had were her two matches with Nia Jax. And that was just Nia playing to her strengths and Ronda bumping for her and then using her MMA stuff. Like, I think Nia can be good if used correctly. And
exactly.
I think,
we've seen glimpses of it.
Yeah. Like, but... what was it? The feud with Alexa when she first won the title. Like, they did some good stuff there. But I think she like, regardless of her level of in-ring acumen as a character, like Jenny was saying, that, like, she brings spice to that division, and it's very bland right now. It's a lot of unseasoned chicken going on right now.
No, a
lot of white girls.
Just not just that, just like plain. Honestly, I kind of forgotten Bayley had a title, let alone this match. Like, it was like, oh yeah, because I kind of had it and the Kofi Kingston 24 documentary on at the same time. I was trying to catch back up before we went and recorded this, and I'm just half paying attention when she comes out, I'm like, oh yeah, she has a belt. Oh, sorry, championship. Or
yes, Vince Russo.
She has Charlotte's championship.
Yeah, how much better would this show have been? And granted, this is only, I mean, it's a minor change, but I still, like, how much better would that Trish-Charlotte match have been if Charlotte was the champion and she was giving Trish a title shot out of pity?
Yeah. One last shot at glory,
and Trish almost won the belt tonight. Like, that match was already great. It would have taken it to another level.
So, just a sidebar, Corey Graves talking about how, like, Trish's mommy time would have interfered with their training or something like that. Doesn't Charlotte have, like, two or three kids?
Does she?
She's got at least one.
Does she?
I'm pretty sure. I'll double check it, but
I pretty much follow her Twitter pretty obsessively, so I've never seen any pictures of kids on there.
Well, I mean, if she's sort of an absent mother, that would kind of tie into the following in the footsteps of our old man.
Oh Jesus!
Wow.
Ooh, that one hurt, Nate.
Where's the lie, Scott? Where's the lie?
Dwayne.
I love Ric Flair as much as the next man, but I saw that ESPN 30 for 30.
Yes, I know.
You're not wrong. My daddy issues right now.
Oh boy.
Let's move on.
Somewhere, David Flair is listening to this show, and he's like, "Damn right, I'm glad somebody finally stood up for me and my anonymous sister that nobody knows because she's the other sister that's not Charlotte."
She's got a better life than Charlotte right now. She's married to Conrad.
She got Conrad.
She does. Shout out to Conrad, who I can assure you is probably not listening to this show.
Definitely not.
If he is, I'll get a strongly worded email.
there's a panel at StarCast called The Lie? Is that what we're looking forward to?
Oh man, Scotty, did you give us your penny stock?
I did not. But we're gonna go. My I'll be quick because we've all talked about it. Because I love her to death too. My penny stock went to Ember Moon. She should have won tonight, period. Yep. There's no two ways about it. Why is Bayley champion? Why is
because
she champion?
Because they felt bad because they had to take the belts off her and Sasha.
Why are we still feeling bad? What the fuck? It's been like 5 months. Who gives a shit?
I don't feel bad.
They all sat there and cried about breaking the ceiling with, you know, when they moved up from NXT. And now they're doing exactly what they didn't want to be in the first place. There's no need for Bayley to be champion right now. Zero. Ember Moon would be a great champion, and I think she'd be a pretty awesome heel too. And she's got a killer finisher. She has a top rope stunner, for Christ's sakes. I mean, what a finisher. And she's got the crazy eyes, which is reminds me of Io Shirai. So everybody's got anybody with crazy eyes is hot. So yeah, it was very disappointing. It was very. I kind of go along the Bayley thing, Jenny, because she like won a match no one gave a shit about, so her stock really didn't mean much tonight anyway. But Ember should have won, period. And I don't know what the hell is wrong with her now. I mean, you know, you could argue that Shayna was the penny stock last night because what did she gain out of it? I mean, nothing is Mia Yim, but what did Shayna gain out of it?
Yeah,
she won another match. Bad. Nobody cares. And for the first time, the match actually sucked.
Yeah, honestly, so, I would have had Shayna lose, and that way you have Mia. You could set up Mia versus Shirai, and then you could move Shayna up to the main roster because they sorely need an infusion of talent with the current crop of girls.
I don't think you're going to see Shayna move up until Ronda's back because I think you're not going to see
Shayna. The other thing with Shayna is if Shayna goes up, Duke and Shafir are kind of screwed because they're not – at the level where they can exist without Shayna yet. No.
They got to go up together because
Ron just send them all.
The real horsewomen together. So, yeah, no, I agree with that.
All right, so we talked about the blue chip stock. We talked about the penny stock. Now it is time to pay it forward. And this is where we predict what's going to happen on the next show and the run-up to, I guess, the next biggest event on the calendar, which would be the Fox debut in October for SmackDown. So, Jenny, coming out of SummerSlam, what's one or two things that you're looking forward to and you predict is going to be our big stories as we head into the fall?
Okay, I'm horrible at this, like I pointed out last time. I don't like to do predictions, but let's say my wish list would be a better opponent for Becky. Mm. Making sure that Bray stays like creepy and weird and not like my good friend Tim Capel did not enjoy the Bray gimmick, but a lot of us did. And I think that they could easily screw it up or easily make it great. So let's make it great. Let's keep doing the creepy thing. I like it a lot. Get a belt on Charlotte. Mm. How about that? I don't care. I mean, just 24/7. I mean, any of them. Just.
Oh my God, she would be an awesome 24/7 champion. Absolutely awesome. I agree.
I don't know. I think that's about all I've got as far as my little fantasy wish list booking.
Okay, so we got Jenny sitting over there in the corner with the red hat saying, make Bray Wyatt great again. I can dig that. Brent, what are your one or two predictions for what is to come in the world of the WWE?
Okay, so we get divided into two categories, what Brent wants and what Brent is pretty sure is going to get.
Wasn't that a Christina Aguilera song, What a Brent Wants, What a Brent Needs?
So, I think, given you guys helped me outline in my head, I think we're getting Orton and Kofi for another 2 months, and it'll culminate in Hell in the Cell. I think Scott's whole thing about Kofi losing the belt at the next one and then getting it back in the rubber match, I can completely see that now that it's been, like, since you dropped it in front of me and like, yeah, there it is. Don't particularly want that at all. Same with, I think we're getting Shane and Kevin Owens for another month, probably two. Again, feud that doesn't need to go. What I want is Bray Wyatt to keep up the creepy and use sparingly. I don't think he's a guy that we really need to see on TV, especially wrestling. Week after week, make him a little bit special and just keep it up. Maybe have him attack a couple more people just like to build him up a little bit. I don't know who else he can sacrifice him to. I guess if I had the listing of WWE stars going on vacation, I would start knocking those guys off a little bit and build him strong. So when Balor comes back as the demon, because that in my mind is that's the natural rematch, is he brings out the demon in order to beat him, is keep him strong. So not only can Balor beat him, but it doesn't hurt Bray when he loses. Mm. And that's a tricky tightrope to walk. I don't have any faith that they'll be able to do it, but I can hope for it, I guess. And I do want to clarify, I looked it up as everybody was talking. I cannot find record of Charlotte having kids. Apparently one of her sisters does, so maybe that's where I got my information and mixed it up. But I could have sworn that she had at least one, but apparently I am
Twitter wrong. Stalk more carefully.
due to pending litigation, I'm not allowed on Twitter. So
yes, the Chain Reaction would like to take this opportunity to apologize to the Flair family for Brent's erroneous, reckless speculation. You don't count that kind of shoddy journalism around here, Brent.
That's the clickbait thing, right? Like you'll get traced back to me. And then Rick's calling me on the phone to chew me out.
That'll be the pull quote from like some third rate wrestling site, like wrestlingtakeout.net.
You know what? It's stupid, but I've seen it. My regular podcast is a nerd-based podcast, and I watched in real-time clickbait happen with Rob Liefeld and The Rock last week.
Oh, God.
Where it went from, like, Liefeld suggesting, oh, you should possibly play this character in Deadpool 3 because you and Ryan Reynolds got along really well, and literally an hour later, a clickbait article popped up in my feed of, The Rock is going to be in Deadpool 3. No, fuck off.
I think that's just entertainment journalism at this point. That
Charlotte or Ric Flair is like, we don't have kids.
But I do like that idea of Finn coming back. Like maybe, I don't know if you do it Survivor Series or TLC, but like that,
maybe
that's going
to hold that up a little bit. Like,
yeah, you can maybe even hold it off to the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, have Finn come back and lose again, and then like, okay, time to break out the demon, and then you can build that up for a bit, and then you're good to go. I guess it depends on when Finn is actually coming back.
Although, to be fair, like, and I know this is just a suspension of disbelief issue, but Finn Balor to me reminds me of Voltron. Like, the demon is always unbeatable. Voltron as a completely assembled robot was always unbeatable. So why wouldn't you just go to the battle as Voltron? Yeah, why wouldn't you just go to the matches as the demon?
Yeah.
To me, as a storytelling point, they should do something with that. Like the demon takes out too much of him or something like that. Or he can go too far and he doesn't like doing that. And
oh, okay.
Like,
yeah.
Put like a plausible explanation behind it, but to this point, they've never really done that. Like your point is very valid, but to me, that's the only thing that they can bring against Bray if they keep Bray strong.
Yeah. So, Scotty, you've already given us a little sample of your predictions of what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Continue to pay it forward. What else do you think is on the horizon for WWE programming?
My first prediction was that if wins and losses matter in AEW, then maybe Finn Balor's going there as the demon, and then he'd never lose ever. But wins and losses aren't worth anything in WWE, or maybe they are. Who knows?
How great would a demon Finn Balor versus Sonny Kiss feud be?
I love Sonny Kiss. He's awesome. I definitely see one good thing tonight that I thought was a breath of fresh air. And this is a compliment, not an insult, because I love this guy. I'm glad we didn't get any Roman Reigns tonight. And that was a good thing.
Yeah, I know. He needs a break.
Not a bad thing at all. That's a compliment. He needed a breather. Because if that storyline's not complete, then don't deal with it tonight. You know what I mean? So... I think you'll eventually see that come to fruition. It's evident that with all the money they spent, that Fox is going to call the shots on SmackDown. And I'm sure, you know, Eazy-E, who is the liaison, is going to be told, they already have Roman, so that's good. But whenever Brock comes back, want him on SmackDown. Whenever Ronda's coming back, want him on SmackDown. If I paid $4 billion for this and USA only paid, you know, the penny stock for Raw, then I'm putting all the meat on Friday nights on broadcast TV. I think Charlotte is going to squash Bayley at some point because Charlotte needs a belt because she's just that damn good with it. So I don't know who Becky can lose to at this point, to be honest with you. So, I do think Kofi will lose, but Nia, and this is actually very serious. When Nia comes back, we can't have the whole crying, bullying, I'm too big bullshit. Instead of crying about people picking on you, snap their heads off their necks and make them all carry. I think Nia Jax should carry the lanterns of her victims' heads. And I think that would be tremendous. Well, that's what we need out of Nia Jax.
One of the storylines they dropped.
Not the crying. Nobody cares.
I don't know why they dropped the story, Scotty, but the thing with her and Becky, like that was hot. That was game.
Yeah, it was.
And they just kind of dropped it.
They did. That would have been huge. And I think Becky could be helped with that. She needs her Brock like Seth got Brock. She yes. doesn't have a Brock right now. And that sucks for her. Seth White got his, like I said, the stink of Seth over, you know, with the last couple of months of programming came off tonight when beating Brock. But Becky still has hers. And looking cool in video game commercials is not going to fly. As cool as it is, it ain't going to fly. You need more than that. I don't think you're going to see any NXT call-ups before WrestleMania.
Hallelujah!
That's what I say, too.
No, they need to stay. I was stunned at some of the results on Saturday night. I was lock, stock, and barrel that Roddy Strong was going to win the North American belt. Mm. And we were going to see Velveteen Dream move on to, and no disrespect, Jenny, but I thought that's why Pete Dunne was in the match, to eat the pin. But, hey, you know what? He didn't, so you should be happy. But I don't know where that's going, because Velveteen Dream will be NXT champion at some point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just don't know when. But he's good to stay on NXT right now because he's so damn good, and God only knows what the hell will happen to him on either of the other two shows.
Yeah, I don't want him going.
No, that will not end well. Leave NXT alone right now. The stability in NXT is great right now. Leave it be. And that's what I think. So my future WWE prediction is that we will not see any NXT graduations before Tampa. Mm. So I think you will see Roman in a major feud with somebody going into the Rumble. I don't know who. We've seen Roman and Daniel Bryan. I know that's been discussed, but I don't know if that's set in stone. Brock will be back. Don't know when, but he'll be back. But he's not going to get a title rematch because I think they're done with that stuff. I think it's time for the Universal belt to be treated like an actual belt for the main roster. The question then also is, who is Kofi's next opponent? Because like we've said, I don't know how much long, 2 months maximum for Orton. Who after that? So the uncertainty of number one contenders is a future problem right now in WWE for almost all the belts.
And isn't that crazy, given all the fucking talent that they have?
I know, right? But they're all like...
It makes no sense.
It does. They're all like laid out wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like the roster itself is great, mm-hmm. but something's not right with like the structuring.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like something's not right.
And to be part of the problem is you haven't done enough to cultivate your mid-card because...
No, not at all.
Especially if you look at Kofi on SmackDown, there should be no shortage of opponents after Orton because Nakamura should be at a higher level.
Yes, he should.
Rusev should be at a higher level. Somebody like, I'm trying to think, is Andrade Miz. SmackDown or Raw right now?
SmackDown.
Andrade is somebody that, like, I think he and Kofi could have a dynamite feud.
Yep.
But he doesn't feel like he's at that level yet. And then, so that's, like, Ali and Kofi could be a very entertaining feud because Kofi's got all of this stuff because of what happened to Ali. Like, you can make a really nice feud out of that, but I don't think they've taken the time to craft stories for these mid-card guys so they don't feel special and they don't feel worthy of a title shot.
And I don't think Ali could be heel yet. I think he's got the stuff to do it yet.
You could make that a face versus face match, and I think it could still play off really well. Due to two guys that respect each other, because Kofi would be magnanimous, like, hey, I understand what you went through. I've been through the same thing. I'm not going to hold you back like others held me back.
Yeah.
And you could do that. And I think you could have a fun little feud there. But I just don't know. Like, and I think it's even worse for Seth, because at least Kofi, you can have some fresh matchups because Kofi's a guy that is new to this position, whereas Seth's been on top for a while. Mm-hmm. And how many fresh matchups do you have on Raw that really intrigue you?
I think the women's division really needs a shakeup of some sort. Mm. And I don't know what it is you do to shake that up. Nia Jax coming back could help.
That leads into my pay it forward, Brent. Because I think that when you get in trouble financially, and I'm a licensed insurance agent, so I know these things. I read books. When you get in trouble financially, sometimes you need to take out a loan, Brent, right? You understand? You follow me here? Mm-hmm. You need to go to the bank. And right now, the women's division feels very bankrupt. They feel very like they're in debt right now. Mm-hmm. So I think they need to go to the Sasha Banks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Lord.
Pay that woman her money. Give her whatever, like green M&Ms in the dressing room, whatever she's being difficult about. Make it right with Sasha Banks, because she's a character that the audience can connect to. I think she's great as a heel. She's okay as a face, but to me, like, Becky and Sasha would be good. If you want Charlotte to take the belt off of Bayley, I think you reignite that program with her and Sasha. Like, there's a space for Sasha Banks that reinvigorates your women's division. And so just to have this woman on the payroll but not active on your programming, to me, that's a waste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but WWE's very good at that. Look at, like, NXT to me is the prime example of them stockpiling stuff that they're never going to use.
Yeah.
There are so many guys down there that we know have been there for like 5-6 years now that haven't even made it to TV. Start cutting bait.
You know what that is? That's Scotty's boy. That's Triple H saying, I got to keep my toys away from my daddy because my daddy is going to break my toys.
Oh my God.
He's exactly
but like,
right.
Like, how in 4 months since WrestleMania, when there was there were women main eventing, and then in 4 months we're all sitting here going, "What the fuck?"
Yeah. You know?
It's bad. Tell me it was about Ronda Rousey either, because I don't buy that bullshit. So somebody dropped the ball.
Yeah, and there hadn't been another Evolution card announced, so it did. Like, the women's division feels like they've dropped the ball since WrestleMania. Yeah.
I think that side effect with Rousey wasn't so much that she was part of the division, but because she was part of the division and important, that they had to build, like, they had to make sure the moving parts kind of worked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now that
her matches were precisely crafted.
Yeah, now that they don't have that attention, that set of toys, to use that analogy, is just sitting kind of out in the open for any kid to come along and kind of like mess with a little bit and then keep going.
So it's just amazing. That whole thing is just amazing to me, because it's like, she's just a lightning rod. Like, it, they just decided that that's how it was, and then they just built it. So, like, just pick somebody else and just decide that about them. You know what I'm saying? It's all about what's around them. Is it? I mean, like, yeah. Like, she needs to work and she needs to, like, build and she needs, like, no. Somebody needs to pick her. Somebody needs to pick somebody else. Just fucking pick
her. Well, they did. Well, see, they transferred, to use Brent's analogy. I feel like we're doing this wonderful analogy potluck here. But they took the lightning rod that Ronda Rousey was and they transferred that to Becky. The problem is they haven't been able to transfer that heat to anybody else.
Yep, I agree.
Not Alexa, not Nikki Cross, not Ember Moon, not Natalya. Like, none of the women have felt like they can catch that spark. Like, they can't, you know, it's like starting a car with a dead battery. You can't jump it. And so who's going to be that woman that can get that spark? What's going to be the storyline that can capture the audience's attention? And again, it might be Sasha, because there's a built-in connection with the audience there with Sasha Banks that I don't think any of the other women have. And it's not all their fault, because they haven't really been put in a position for the audience to give a damn about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know the women's division needs?
Besides Nia Jax and Sasha.
Besides Nia Jax. Tessa Blanchard.
Yes.
Tessa Blanchard can beat the shit out of guys.
Yeah.
Get her here now.
How Tessa great would Tessa Blanchard, Charlotte Flair.
Oh,
feud.
Oh, my Jesus, yes.
Think of all the feuds you can do with her. You have Charlotte and Tessa Blanchard. Putting her up against Sasha Banks, if you can bring Sasha back too, because their characters are sort of along the same kind of spectrum as well. Yep. You've got that. Both of them can work. I think the women's division, I think, is just it just needs one or two, maybe three new pieces or pieces reshuffled, mm-hmm. and it could be hot again within like 2 months.
And the crazy thing is, didn't they have the time to do it?
And
didn't
I
they
don't
have
know
Tesla
if they...
under the umbrella though before Brent?
I want to say that she got tryouts and just they didn't go with her for some reason. Maybe it was earlier on in her career. Like, I want to say that she was in the NXT system.
Yeah,
but
she
not
was in
like,
one of the Mae Young Classics, I believe.
Yeah, but never signed. Yeah. You know, like, they for some reason, they didn't go with her, which is weird in a lot
it's
of
like,
ways.
It's like when Jim Ross missed on AJ Styles. Like, how do you miss on that guy?
Well, yeah, but even Tessa Blanchard's got the... Say she couldn't work. We're shit. Just let's live in that world for a minute. She's still got that name.
Yep.
We have seen them sign for less. You know what I mean? Like, they will sign any big football player that Vince...
Hey, you leave Sammy Pescatelli's name out your mouth, Brent. Tino Sabatelli is a national treasure.
Tino Sabatelli knocked Kenta out of when he was just starting to get back and knocked him out. And this dude has barely been on TV. He's one of those guys he's the guy that I always point to. He's been there 5-6 years.
Yeah.
He's not really on TV. Why are you paying this guy? Use that money and pay off Sasha Banks and get her green M&Ms. God damn it.
Pink
Why
M&M.
Are you wasting time on him? You obviously know you're not going to use him. Get rid of him. Use that money somewhere else.
Savage.
Who cares if Mojo Rawley's in AEW, for God's sakes?
Oh, fucking Mojo.
But then AEW gets Gronk. Oh, don't give a shit. Whatever. No. Sign Tessa now.
You know what's crazy? Savvy Pescatelli is almost, I think he might have been in NXT longer than he was in the NFL at this point. Because he's been in NXT since 2014.
Oh, wow.
And he was in the NFL for 6 years, so almost as long.
Interesting.
All right, let's bust up in that bottle. About time.
Yeah, you know it's been a long night when we start looking up the career.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah,
like, we're still on air, right?
Room service for D-Wayne Gretzky? Room service for D-Wayne Gretzky?
There's a Nia Jax waiting for your will call.
Thanks, Nate. I looked him up on Wikipedia, and now I know why they're keeping him happy, even though I don't understand why that either. Because apparently he's, according to Wikipedia, he's dating Mandy Rose. I'm like,
that makes sense.
And also, was dating Mandy. Oh wait, that's in storyline. Never mind.
Also, Brent gets his win back. Brent was just looking for a win back after that Charlotte debacle.
Yeah, after we almost got sued.
All right, so that's gonna do it for this edition of the Chain Reaction. We'll be back in November to give our reaction on the Survivor Series. But before then, we have to thank our guests once again, Jenny Smith, Scott Criscola, and Brent Chittenden. Let's go around the horn one time and get all your plugs out there. We'll let Jenny go first because it's going to take her about 10 minutes to get through all her shows. Jenny, where can people find you and where can they listen to you on?
Okay. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Jenny Cruz, C-R-U-Z, 2814. My shows include Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Talking WCW. What else do I do? Freak Out Drive-In. And then our new ECW pod called PTBN Extreme Three-Way Dance, which we will be having a new episode of soon. And then today there was an article on PlaceToBeNation.com that dropped. It was a draft of all SummerSlam matches, 30-round draft. So read over our rosters and vote for mine at the end for best SummerSlam matches.
Good stuff. Brent, where can the people find you and listen to all of your True North nerdy goodness?
You can find me at TrueNorthNerds.com. That's the mothership home for the main podcast that I do, True North Nerds. If you want to see me in person, as this times out well, August 22nd to the 24th, I will be at Fan Expo Canada at the Metro Toronto Convention Center. I'll be hosting a ton of panels and sketch duels and stuff like that. So if you want to come up and disagree with me in person about my picks, that's the best place to find me. So I do a lot of hosting at Fan Expo this year and occasionally appear on podcasts with Nate. So yeah, TrueNorthNerds.com.
So, lawyers for the Flair Estate, you can find Brent at the Toronto Fan Expo. But Scotty, where can people find you? Let them know about the main event and anything else you got going on.
Well, of course, the most recent main event, Brother Nate, that you and I and Mr. Willie dropped last week. We previewed these two shows, so see if we were right or wrong. There will be a new episode this coming week of the Place to Be podcast. Myself and my PIC, Mr. Rosero, will have a special guest, and we will be continuing our trek through the, as we finish up 1989, I think it's the November 89 Madison Square Garden house show. We'll be doing that this week. We'll be doing the next main event, Nate, next week. Not sure what we'll do yet. We'll do something fun. You can find me on Twitter at Scott Criscola. And we got a bunch of fun stuff coming up on placemenation.com. College football season starting soon, so look for myself and Mr. Logan Croslin. We'll be starting up our campus hot takes again as we look at college football this season. And we're going to have a lot of fun in October, which is the best month of the year for horror. And we're going to have some great pods and articles throughout the month of October. So just teasing that. So a lot of stuff coming up as we continue in summer into fall at placemenation.com. But that's where you can find me, here, there, and everywhere.
Very cool. And yes, to the listeners of the main event, on the next episode, we will be doing a special retrospective, the top 10 Tino Sabatelli matches. So you don't want to miss that.
Am I off? Oh, wait a minute.
As for me, you can find me on Twitter in the number 8, M-O-Z-A-I-K, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Check out the Kings of Sport, myself and Marcus Vanderberg. Check out the Patreon. Patreon.com/thekingsofsport, where you'll find over 50 shows, I believe, at this point. We've got video editions of the podcast. We've got the 20 Twin Twin, which is a political podcast. We've had MCU reviews. We've had special wrestling previews. We had NBA trade deadline show. So it's just a bunch of stuff on there. So if you do want to get me something for my birthday, how about you subscribe to the Patreon? That way you help yourself while you help me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that one works, folks. But yeah, you can check that out, the Kings of Sport. I've also got the Rocky Mountain Picture Show on Post Wrestling, which Brent has been on. Jenny has not been on as of yet. And I've got a show in mind for Scott and Steve Willie, but I'll share that for off air. I'll save that for off air because I want it to be a surprise for the people. But yeah, Rocky Mountain Picture Show comes out once a month on Post Wrestling. Got the main event, like Scotty mentioned, and I believe that's it for now. I think I've cut my podcast workload down to 3 shows. Well, there's a Black Lightning podcast, so 4 shows. That's manageable. That's doable. But yeah, that's going to do it for this week's edition, or this month's edition, this quarter's edition, because we're not coming back to Survivor Series. But that's going to do it for this edition of The Chain Reaction presented by the Kings of Sport and Place to Be Nation. Thank you for listening. If you agree with us, we appreciate it. If not,
it's Brent's fault.
It's Brent's fault. We did it. We made it through another show. We're still here. Jenny didn't get us kicked off of any networks. So that's a blessing.
Damn.
She didn't try hard enough.
No, she didn't. She didn't. But yes, thanks for listening. And we will catch you guys and girls next time for another edition of Pro Wrestling's greatest show, the fastest hour in pro wrestling, the hippest trip in pro wrestling podcast, The Chain Reaction. So, for Jenny, for Brent, and for Scott, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. And good night, Mrs. Jax, wherever you are.
D-Wayne. Happy birthday to you,
D-Wayne.